Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
And Joe at RTE.ie. Áine Cross, Áine, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
You've had an awful tragedy befallen you in a very, very difficult situation. Tell us what happened to your husband.
My husband died of a massive heart attack on the 17th of June. Just suddenly, there was nothing wrong with him. He was as healthy as could be.
Yeah.
And it just happened that night. We tried to revive him. We tried to save him, but it didn't happen. So he died at the age of 51. And left us all devastated because he was a very, very selfless person. He adored his children and he would do anything for his family. So it's very hard when you're left on your own with four children that are ill, you know. Yeah.
And he was there were twin pillars in your house. Yes, yourself and Jerry, who was your rock. But the two of you were holding up, trying to hold up. And persevere, and your four beautiful children, try and deal with their difficulties. Now you're left on your own, one pillar is gone. Can you explain the situation your children are in, Anya, please?
Yeah, my eldest has cancer. He was diagnosed with lymphoma in February.
And when you say your eldest, you mean your 18-year-old?
My 18-year-old, yeah. And he was diagnosed with lymphoma. He's getting chemo as we speak. So chemotherapy, he is doing okay, except he's absolutely devastated over his father because he was there. He tried to revive him with me. So it wasn't a great situation. And then I have three children with mitochondrial disease, which is a degenerate disease of the muscles, the brain, the liver, the kidney, the heart. So it's kind of a time bomb, but you just have to live with it. There's nothing they can do. There's no cure. And they're also autistic, and Lisa is severely autistic, and she doesn't sleep, and she was hitting and the whole lot because her daddy was her carer and her lifeline, and now he's gone, and she doesn't understand. She understands he's gone, but she doesn't understand where he's gone.
Of course, so yeah.
She keeps looking for him, so therefore she doesn't sleep at all. And I'm trying. She knows she has a great school. She's great support in school, and she has a brilliant pediatrician who really supports her. But the problem is we need respite because I'm so tired at this stage, and I'm bringing Adam to chemo, and I'm having to drag kids to chemotherapy with me, and everything else because I can't get respite because children with special needs are invisible in this world, you know, and there's no adequate financial support for them to get respite, and it should be there because when situations like mine happen, which devastates families, there's no help. There's nothing.
Have you been offered any respite?
No, I've been offered just an hour a day of somebody taking care of her, but as I explained, that's no good to me because the whole problem is she's not sleeping. She sleeps for an hour and then I'll be up from between 2 and 4 and she'll stay up all day.
Right.
And she just will not sleep, and she, since her daddy died, like, she's just a lot worse than she's ever been, you know, because she's sensing there's a difference and there's a break in her routine. And then you have the whole thing with the COVID thing. So she's been home school since March, and her whole routine is broken. Her whole life has been turned upside down, literally. And then you have my two guys that have autism at different levels, and one of them has an intellectual disability. He doesn't get, and he's getting very upset because she's screaming, and his level of autism, of course, his sensory issues is driving him crazy that she's screaming. And she's doing it day and night. It's just not stopping, like, you know. And the whole thing is there's no money there, apparently. That's why there's no respite, you know, that there's no money, you know. And yet again, it boils down to children with disabilities that are invisible and no help there for them except the schools and the paediatrician and that kind of way. But they can't do anything except voice their opinion, voice to help you, you know.
And have you, where, I know you're in Galway, in Kinvara, but in terms of family support on you?
My family live up in Dublin.
Okay.
I come down to Galway for, my husband's from Galway, Claire. So we came down, and of course, we never thought this was going to happen, like, you know, so. We didn't think we were going to end up in this situation. You
and yourself and Jerry, as you say, your pillar who died so young, I can't imagine the shock you were in on you and so suddenly. But you'd actually compiled and written a book together.
We did. We wrote a book. We All That You Never See, Our Journey with Autism. We wrote about our journey and how we coped together as a team. And we didn't launch it because family stuff happened, and Jerry wrote his own chapter in it, and the whole lot is available from Bookle Publishing, but I haven't done anything with it because now I have the scenario, you know, which...
But you haven't got a minute, night or day.
No, I can't breathe. I actually can't breathe, to be honest with you. And we always said we'd never put our children to rest, but that was because we had each other. And then when this was taken away, I am absolutely distraught because I don't know how to live without him, to be honest with you, because he was my life for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And I feel alone because there is nothing there for to help you. When you ask for respite, it should be available before situations like this and circumstances like this. You shouldn't be left out in the cold, you know, and it's a very lonely world when you're sitting with three children with autism and your son has cancer and the love of your life has died. It's very, very lonely, you know, and it's very hard because you've nowhere to go with it, you know. I mean, my father and my sister are brilliant, but I'm not. My kids are settled here. I'm not going back up there, you know.
The friends and all that. And they've enough disruption in their life, unfortunately, at the minute with their dad's passing. And Anya, how is your health?
Well, mine wouldn't be brilliant. I see a neurologist say query MS with me. So it isn't definitive, but they query it with me. And they reckon the mitochondria might have come from the maternal gene, so they reckon I might have it. It's just very, very hard to find in people. So they reckon I probably have that as well. So my body gets tired more than the average person, you know.
Well, even under normal circumstances, if you're up half the night, if you're up and down, if you've... and that's just the night time, and then the daytime is going for chemo with your eldest Adam, and I hope that works out well. I'm sure it will. And then you're dealing with serious other issues in the family. No wonder.
But nobody, you know, nobody cares. Now, Jerry's brother is very good, as in he will do what he can do, but he wouldn't have any idea of autism, you know, or anything like that. So he couldn't, you know, and he has his own children too.
So you're looking for respite, and you're looking for, is it more than an hour?
I was looking for at least 2 or 3 nights. Well, even 2 would do me, just so I can recharge. As I said, it's like respite is like oxygen to a family with children with autism when stuff like this happens. I mean, it is anyway, but especially when stuff like this happens, you know, and when you don't have it and you have nowhere to go, you know, I'm not able to take care of my other children during the day because I'm exhausted. I haven't had a chance to grieve my husband properly. My 2 young children haven't got a chance to grieve their father properly because I can't do anything with them because at least it consumes my whole life, you know.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit, finally, about Jerry. Where did you meet Anya?
We met in Leixlip, in Kildare. I was from Leixlip in Kildare, and I met him, and the first time we met, there was a disagreement, which was highly amusing. And then I met him a week later, and to be honest, he came to my house, and he never left.
Okay, wonderful.
Yeah, he was just a genuinely kind, selfless person. Everything was about his family, and he took on my 3 eldest kids because I was married before, and he took them on, and he was just the kindest human being you could ever, ever come across, you know, and he'd do anything for anybody. And that's why it's so hard when you can't get anything, any help or support, when, you know, he would have bent over backwards for anybody.
And his heart attack came out of the blue, did it, on you?
Oh, yes. It's just, he was in the kitchen and we had watched a movie together. We were talking and he was eating, picking at a curry, and he said that he had a pain in his neck, not his chest, like his neck. Mm. And he said, I'm going to lie down. And I said, well, maybe I should call the doctor. And he was like, you know, he said, it's only indigestion. I'm after being eating that. And I went in a few minutes later and he was dead.
Oh my God.
I tried to, there was no pulse, there was no nothing, but his eyes were partially open. But the strange thing was, when he was talking to me in the room, he said to me, you know, when we die, we never go anywhere. We're always around. That's what I found very weird about it.
Yeah.
You know, but his mother only died like 10 months ago as well. So it was just, circumstances just weren't great. But it's...
Well, let's hope the authorities are listening on you. It's a story that will bring tears to a stone. It really would. And I hope things can only get better. I hope the diagnosis and the treatment for Adam's cancer is successful, thankfully, in that type of cancer, as far as I know. And I hope you get the help that you're looking for as soon as possible. But above all, condolences on the death of the twin pillar, your beloved husband, Jerry. God rest him. Anya, thanks indeed. And thanks for contacting us.
Okay, thank you, Joe. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.